And so I'm going to read from the Word of God in the book of 2 Peter in the first chapter. And I'm going to start our reading with the 16th verse and read through the 21st. And then as God allows, we will endeavor to take that 19th verse and just break it down line by line and see what it says. And then once we've done that, we'll try to apply what it says to us with 3 points from this chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1, and begin our scripture reading with the 16th verse. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit that when the Comforter is come, he would show us things to come, he would testify of Christ in the Word. And so, Lord, today may your Spirit testify of Christ in the Word to our hearts. May Christ be glorified in our midst. May this people gathered here and those who join us online be protected against words after man's wisdom. But, Lord, may they be blessed by words from thee. Mm-hmm. And, Lord, those words do not come from within man, but they come as your Spirit speaks in the ears of your elect through your Word. That is our desire this day, O gracious Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. We have a more sure word of prophecy. The inspired word of prophecy of the Old Testament that came through the prophets was sure and it was profitable. In our text there in verse 20, Peter expounds the fact that no prophecy is of any private interpretation. In other words, it wasn't just what Daniel thought. It wasn't just what Ezekiel imagined. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just what Jeremiah hoped or wept over. But rather, that prophecy with came. It wasn't private. It was intended for us. Mm-hmm. It wasn't of a private interpretation. But rather, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's certainly profitable. Mm-hmm. Those are important words. And though it's not the matter of our exposition today, they're preserved to us today. What we have here is exactly what the Spirit of God ordained for us to have. Nothing more and nothing less. And we tend to put great value on a man's last words. What are the last words he spoke? Even in the execution of a criminal, there'll be a microphone hanging over the table where they do the lethal injections. You want to hear, what's he have to say? Is he going to apologize for his crimes? Is he going to say, I'm innocent? What's he going to say? Well, the last words of David are recorded for us in Scripture, and a man's last words are important. What did David choose to say as his last words? Well, in 2 Samuel 23, in verse 1, now these are the last words of David. Verse 2, David said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." Isn't that amazing? David didn't say, "Hey, I killed a giant named Goliath." David didn't say, "Hey, I even killed a lion and a bear. I killed 10,000 and all Saul had was 1,000. No, the thing that David said in his last words is, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me and his word was in my mouth." And so, the Old Testament prophets, they were a sure word of prophecy. But here we find in 2 Peter 1:19 that we have a more sure word of prophecy. What does that mean? How can it be more sure? I mean, certainly the Old Testament was sure. We have a revelation that has come directly from God the Father. And you remember in Jeremiah that the test of the prophet was if his words came to pass, he was a true prophet of the Lord. But if his words didn't come to pass, they were not to be feared. Well, this word "more sure" comes from a root word that means, you ready for it? Confirmed. It means confirmed. The proof of the prophet was that his words came to pass. And all through the Old Testament, they looked for the Messiah and they waited for the Messiah. But we have a more sure word because it's been confirmed. And so, the writer of Hebrews tells us that God at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. And in that same passage there in Hebrews 1 verse 5 says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my beloved Son, this day have I begotten." And that's exactly what Peter is talking about here. Because if you look down to verse 17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came unto such a voice unto him." And I think it's significant that Peter doesn't say the voice came to us. It came to him. You see, we have a more sure word of prophecy because all the prophecies have been fulfilled in Christ. They're confirmed. And I would say to you this morning that Christ himself, the living word of God, is the more sure testimony. For remember in the story of Lazarus, when the rich man says, "Oh, if one goes back from the dead, then my brethren will believe." One has come back from the dead. His name is Jesus Christ. And so, the Old Testament saints, they had a sure word of prophecy. But we have a more sure word. Because it's confirmed to be true. And the confirmation is Christ himself. And the proof of the confirmation is the voice from heaven. And the proof of the confirmation is, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say.
That's right.
We have a more sure word of prophecy. The living word was in the beginning with God, and the living word was God, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, with a little bit of grace and truth mixed in. And again, folks, I'm sorry. I tend to twist scripture around to make a point, and sometimes I wonder if that's appropriate. But it doesn't say a little bit of grace and truth mixed in. It says full. Full of grace. And truth. So, Peter says there in verse 16, we've not followed cunningly devised fables. We've not followed the Quran.
Talk to me.
We've not followed the Book of Mormon. We've not followed something Confucius said. We've not followed the philosophies of man. For the scripture came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's what David said in his last words. The Spirit of the Lord spoke with me, by me. And his word was in my mouth. But look at verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming. Aren't those important words? Aren't they glorious? The power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never a man spake like this man. Ah. Indeed, we do have a more sure word, and it's all recorded right here.
Yes, it is.
It's all recorded for us. At the Mount of Transfiguration, Christ said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And so that brings us to the second phrase, or second line of this 19th verse. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed. My friend, this is the biggest "because I said so" that there's ever been. Because I said so. We do well. We do well to take heed to this word. That word, "take heed," the literal meaning is to hold in mind, to hold it in your mind, to hang on to it. If you hold something in your mind, it's always on your mind. If you hold something in your mind, you're meditating on it. So it means to take heed, not just to hear it on Sunday, not to have a dusty Bible, as they say. My father used to say, "If you have a red Bible, raise your hand." And about half or a third of the congregation would raise their hands because it happened to be red in color. And he would say, "No, no, no, no. If you read your Bible, if it's a red Bible, raise your hand." I don't care what color the cover is. I've seen some beautiful Bibles in all different colors, but they all should be red. We do well. We do well to take heed. And again, considering the words of the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And you know, most often I hear that third verse of Hebrews 2, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" I hear it used evangelistically. And I believe it is an evangelistic verse, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" But I believe it actually is aimed more to the believers. Hebrews was written to believing Jews. How shall we escape the corruption of this world if we neglect this great salvation that's been given to us?
Yeah, right.
If we don't pay attention to our salvation, if we don't pay close heed to this word. And if you look there at our text in chapter 1, verse 19 of 2 Peter, it says, "For we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye..." That word "ye" is very specific. "Whereunto ye do well to take heed." I'm talking to you.
Right.
"Whereunto ye do well." Believer, how shall we escape if we daily neglect the state of our soul? We're saved by grace. We're saved. But oh, how the world plagues the soul of the believer. Oh, how the temptations through the eye gate, through the ears, through just walking through this filthy world, how they come in on us every day. Oh, we do well to take heed because we have a more sure word of prophecy. Oh, how we must pay attention to this more sure word. How shall we escape if we neglect this salvation? If our Redeemer lives, how can we live for anything but Him? How shall we escape? And so, looking again at our text there in chapter 1 and verse 19 of 2 Peter, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And that word dark is a word that means squalid and dirty. Doesn't that describe the world? Squalid and dirty. It's a filthy, filthy place. I think most of us at some time or another have had to go into a gas station restroom.
Yikes.
Well, that's basically what is being described here. It's a light that shines into a squalid and a dirty place. We need to take heed to this word, folks. Because that's where we are. One of the things about scuba diving that I really love is night diving. Diving at night, it's fabulous. Because you're carrying a flashlight with you, but that flashlight only lights up a little circle around you. And you have no idea what's outside that light. And the barracuda and the sharks and the manta rays are attracted to that light because it will attract little krill and little things they like to eat. And so you are here in a little circle of light the size of this room, and the sharks and the barracudas are just outside the light, and you can't see them, but you know they're there, and you kind of shine your light because you want to see them. You want to know where they are. It's a light that shines in a dark place. We don't want to see it. We're not looking for it. But there's dangers all around us. But not in the circle of light. Not in the circle of light. And sometimes when you're night diving, the little O-ring that you've greased with silicone on your flashlight will fail. And the water will start to come into your flashlight. It doesn't go out all at once. It just starts to dim down. And when the light starts to dim down, that circle of light that you feel confident in, that you're safe in, gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Brethren, we do well. We do well to take heed to this light, because it's shining in a dangerous, dirty, squalid, filthy place. And if we're not taking heed to that light, it gets smaller and smaller, because the darkness around us, the water that seeps into my flashlight, begins to dim the light till my circle of light goes totally out. And it's happened to me a couple times. But look what it says about this light. Whereunto ye do well to take heed, and to, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. What's it mean when it says it shines in? It means it's piercing the darkness. It's shining into it. It's illuminating it. We do well to take heed. And then again, I think most of us have walked down a path in the dark, sometimes with a flashlight and sometimes with no light at all, and tripped over a root or a stone. We need the light. And I said before that this more sure word of prophecy, I believe, is Christ himself, who is the living word, who brings to us the written word. But consider what Christ said about himself in John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
I'm the light that you need to take heed to. I'm the light that you need to see. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Mm-hmm. And then again, this is the message that ye have heard of him, and declare that we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We're in a squalid and dark place. How easy it is for the darkness to start sticking to us. How easy it is for that filth around us to start sticking to us. You come out of a filthy place and you want to wipe your shoes because you've been walking around on a filthy floor. In him is no darkness at all. Is there darkness in you? You see, if we're not taking heed to this light, the darkness creeps into us. And the only way to get rid of it is the light, to dispel it, to push it away. And so, the Word of God shines into a squalid world. Christ was born into a squalid and dirty world. God's Word shines into the squalid and dirty world to bring us out of the dirty world into the light of Christ. And so, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. What do we mean by the day dawn here? Some would say, oh, well, that's talking about salvation. It's talking about the day you're saved. No, I don't believe it is. Look at the first verse of the chapter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, unto them that have obtained like precious faith. Mm-hmm. He's already talking to people that have obtained the faith. These are believers he's talking to. And so that day dawn is not talking about the day of their salvation. So what is he talking about? Well, I believe he tells us, if you look back up to verse 13, the previous verses. Peter says in verse 13, and yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Peter says, I'm getting ready to die. My day's getting ready to dawn, I believe Peter was saying. I'm getting ready to get out of this dark and squalid place. And so I'm warning you. You better take heed to the light until the day that you get out of this dark and squalid place. Keep on keeping on. Peter's not talking about, oh, if you don't take heed to the light, you're not going to be saved. No, they've already obtained the faith. They've already received the gift of God. They need to take heed because the darkness is around them. And so, He says, until the day dawn, until the day we are taken out of this world. I've heard of many believers, and I imagine you probably have too, that have at one time taken a great stand for truth and righteousness, and they just gave up. They just gave in. Oh, they were saved, but the end of their race was not as the beginning. Oh, that we may all say with Paul, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. And so, unto the day dawn and that glorious day star, that glorious risen Savior arise in our heart. And I believe that last phrase can be compared to, I am risen with Christ. Crucify with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. And so, though this body be placed in the earth, yet the day star will arise on my heart. And so, in Revelation 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you of these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star, Jesus declares. And so, this glorious text, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in our heart. We have this prophecy. We've been given this knowledge. Now, very briefly, how can we apply it to us day by day? What does it mean to us? Well, first of all, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, grace and peace are multiplied even while we live in this dark world. Look at verse 2 of our text. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what? We live in a dark, squalid world. But we have grace to help us through. And we have peace in our hearts, even though we're here. We have grace of salvation, and we have grace of situation. We have grace in our hearts. And we have peace. Great peace have they that love thy law. And all this stuff around us will not offend us.
That's right.
Nothing shall offend us. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. You see, if our mind is stayed upon the squalid world around us, we got problems. But through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, grace and peace are multiplied. That's our first application. Second application. Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Look at verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of this more sure word of prophecy. Through Christ. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. All the equipment that is needed to live righteously in Christ Jesus is given to us. Through the knowledge of him. And so we need to take heed to his word. Because wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way day by day? By taking heed according to thy word. And we're not talking about sinless perfection. I came from an old Methodist background, and one of the failings of old Methodism was the teaching of sinless perfection. I will not be perfect in this life. But God has given to me his perfect word. He's given to me his more sure word of prophecy. He's confirmed it through Jesus Christ. And I can endure the trials of this life. I can stand for Christ until the day star arise through him. He's given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so through this knowledge of the more sure word, we have grace and peace. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. And then finally, we have the assurance that we won't be unfruitful or barren. Look at verse 8. If these things be in you and abound in you, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge. There's our word again, knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, the things he's talking to are verses 5 through 6. Beside all this, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. we have a more sure word of prophecy. This more sure word of prophecy shines into this dark and squalid place. But we know him through whom we can overcome the darkness. Mm-hmm. We know through him who gives us grace and peace in the darkness, who gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness in the darkness, mm-hmm. and who gives us that by which we will bear fruit in the darkness until the day that he takes us from the darkness into his light. Mm-hmm. And so, brethren, don't doubt it. Mm. Because we have more reason to believe it than the saints of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. It's confirmed by God the Father speaking. It's confirmed by Christ himself. And it's given to us to take heed day by day. Mm-hmm. Let us stand for prayer, and then we'll go directly into our observance of the Lord's table.